Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Dan Aykroyd Podcast. I'm your host, Scott White. We have a special episode this time. I am friends with Chase and Bryce, who do the Movie Gap Podcast, and I was on their podcast last year, and I did an episode on the Blues Brothers. Actually, I did two episodes on the Blues Brothers. This is the first, so if you enjoy this episode, make sure you tune over to the Movie Gap and catch our second episode of the Blues Brothers. And always support this podcast, and please support their podcast. And I hope you enjoy the Blues Brothers. Take it away, the Movie Gap.
No, I didn't. Honest. I ran out of gas. I had a flat tire. I didn't have enough money for cab fare. My tux didn't come back from the cleaners. An old friend came in from out of town. Someone stole my car. There was an earthquake. A terrible flood. Locust! It wasn't my fault, I swear to God!
We watched the Blues Brothers this week on the Movie Gap, the podcast that has you scream.
It wasn't my fault, I swear to God!
We're leaving that in.
Yeah, that's it.
It's staying.
That's always in. Welcome back. I mean, God, welcome. Welcome this week to the Movie Gap.
Chase, you're done.
My name is Chase Austin, and as always, my brother in crime, Bryce Perkins.
That's right.
This is a special episode. We have a special guest, Houston's own Scott White.
Hello. Hello, everyone. Hello.
There he is.
There he is. I'm here.
Love it.
So
so I was just thinking, his last name is White. This is a movie on the Blues Brothers. So just for this episode, I'm Bryce Blues, you're Chase Blues, he's Scott White. How about that?
You know?
We're color-coded.
Sure.
I'm just trying to keep this on track as possible.
Clearly. Not
that's clearly by going off the rails the first 30 seconds of the podcast.
Exactly. If you haven't ever really listened, we get about 25 minutes in before we get past the credits most of the time. That being said,
the opening credits.
We watched Blues Brothers. So I was telling Scott about this before, you know, that we have this ongoing list of movies that you have not seen, Bryce.
Yes.
And that's the whole point of this podcast, is that you're 30-something years old.
Yes.
And you've never seen, like, any movie. So we're watching them all for the first time with you.
That's correct.
And so I gave Scott a list of them. Actually, I didn't even give you a list. I just said, name a movie, and you said Animal House or Blues Brothers.
Yep.
And Animal House is not on the list, actually.
I have seen that one.
Yeah, but Blues Brothers was, so. And we have been trying to do this one for a while. We almost did it, but your Blu-ray player didn't work.
Yes. Blu-ray player.
Oh, I know, right?
I still so, use it. I watched my Blu-ray.
Do you?
Did you Loser. Buy, did you rent it? I bet y'all rented it.
Yes, on Amazon. You know, like a person in the fucking 21st century, Chase.
Okay. Some of us don't have $3, right. Okay?
Well, a my Blu-ray player? What was that? From the fucking 1937, am I right?
It's a Scott. PS4, all right?
This fucking guy.
Anyway,
PS4, whoa!
Didn't you just get a raise? Why don't we stop the fucking right
now? All right, okay, we can stop fucking. I was enjoying us fucking, but we can stop fucking. That's fine.
All right, Bryce.
Yes.
Before having seen this, what did you know or what did you think was this movie was about?
Oh,
or?
Right. I knew about it from SNL, you know. Uh-huh. I mean, I've always been a big fan of SNL, have gone back and watched a lot of the stuff, the best ofs from the 70s, and was very familiar with Dan Aykroyd's bits, you know, bag of nails, bag of rusty nails or whatever, bag of glass.
Bag of glass.
Yeah, bag of vipers. And all that shit, and so I knew about the Blues Brothers already.
Do you know the origin of? Do you know the very first appearance of the Blues Brothers?
It was Carrie Fisher was hosting.
No. Before
this
that.
Is where it came. Before the show
in Second City, I'm assuming, or at Second City.
the White House.
Oh, the Gerald Ford sketches, right?
Chevy Chase was doing Gerald Ford on Saturday Night Live,
right.
And he was invited to the White House, and he brought Aykroyd and Belushi along, and they were dressed as the Blues Brothers. So that was really the first appearance of the Blues Brothers. That's where they gave him the idea. They were dressed in the black suits and the sunglasses.
Yeah.
So,
as Gerald Ford's...
As Chevy Chase's bodyguard going to see Gerald Ford in the White House.
Well, that's a movie gap connection. We talked about Chevy Chase before and how much of a piece of shit he is.
Right.
Allegedly.
I believe he's probably mellowed. I think he's mellowed more.
That's what it seems, yeah.
Yeah, but maybe. No, there was a one time he was...
Yeah, we watched Three Amigos not too long ago.
Yes, we did.
What did you think of that movie?
I loved it.
It was a good movie.
Yeah.
The
I was pleasantly surprised by it.
The Invisible Swordsman or singing bush scene is definitely my favorite.
Right. Yes, exactly.
But
when he shoots it behind him, and then the Invisible Sword.
So that being said, you just watched the Blues Brothers for the first time,
right?
So let's get into it. What are your thoughts?
Well, no, I didn't finish my thoughts on.
Oh, my bad.
I mean, I knew about it from SNL. I didn't realize that story. That's actually really fucking cool.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
And that's really cool because you know, they did it to impersonate. Like bodyguards, right? But then being in the costumes, like you can just imagine them chatting and being like, "What? You know, what if we were like
right?"
Blues
well,
that,
I think that. A side note to that story is that Belushi didn't have his ID. You need ID to get into the White House.
Right.
And Belushi showed up with no ID.
Of course,
and they let him in because he was Belushi.
Yeah. It's like the CAA guys, like, "Yep, verified that is John Belushi. Mm-hmm. Yes, I recognize him."
Well, he's that doesn't surprise me because. We know things about him, but one thing that they did said on the set, they called him a black hole because things would just disappear that you gave him. Like, he would start a scene with his sunglasses on, and by the time they were done with the scene, he would have lost them.
Or he'd give them away to a PA. It's like, so, you know, he's giving away his Ray-Ban sunglasses.
Right.
Which it also brought that brand of Ray-Ban
back
from,
style.
Yeah, it was out of style, and they were not doing well. And then this movie... Made it.
Yeah, like, you know what? That was one of the first things I noticed. It wasn't a note, but I did notice that they were Ray-Bans when he was getting his stuff issued to him.
Yeah.
Or issued back to him or whatever. So, I was wondering... I didn't realize Ray-Bans were that old. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess...
There was a lot of shit in this movie I didn't... Like, Toys R Us was
Pier,
in this
Pier
movie.
Pier 1?
Pier 1, yeah.
This
I actually wrote
everything.
Both of those. Yeah, I mean, I just didn't realize those were that old. So those are the kinds of things I notice when I watch movies is that there was a fucking store in it. But
the songs don't rhyme.
The lyrics.
We know that.
The lyrics, yeah. That does irk me. And actually, you know what? I was listening to another podcast where two people were agreeing with me about how it's annoying when things don't rhyme. So
I don't listen to podcasts.
Thank
I feel
you very much.
They're beneath me.
It was Scott Aukerman and Paul F. Tompkins and...
Oh, Paul F. Love Paul F.
See?
Yeah.
And so that means... And so does Chase, and that means Chase agrees with me by proxy now. Sorry. my first note. 1 minute in, and I already love this movie. The opening shots are amazing. And I could tell, like, from the beginning that there was... I mean, they set a very theatrical tone from the beginning, you know?
Well, this is the first...
And I wasn't expecting that. But, like, the shots were awesome. Like, when he fucking... Like, when he... Like, the whole time when they're walking him
down
to go get his stuff... And
under the grate.
Yes, exactly. And then when the gates finally open, and it's just the sunlight behind him, and he's just standing
okay.
there...
Now, there's a story about that.
Yes, please.
As you know, Belushi was a huge cokehead.
Yes.
Yeah.
And just the fact that what he got done on this movie... With the fact that all the coke he did.
Yeah.
He did copious amounts of coke.
Yeah.
So that scene where with the sunlight.
Yeah.
Landis is like, we gotta get he goes into his trailer and Belushi's just.
Is it the mountain of coke scene?
Mountain of coke scene. And so he's losing sunlight and he's like, John, we need you for this shot. And he takes the coke and Landis takes the coke and pours it down the toilet and Belushi just goes crazy. But.
I've heard that story.
Yes, but that's the scene.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the scene
where
he needed him. And
didn't Landis knocked him out, didn't he? Didn't he punch him and he fell and then he was like, okay, yeah. Apparently Landis says that didn't happen.
Yeah.
But that's the...
The scene where...
So that was the scene. Oh,
that
wow.
was the scene because they were losing sunlight, you know.
Yeah.
That particular shot, which is an excellent shot.
With
the gate coming up in the sun.
Yeah. It looks
so
amazing.
So they needed Belushi and he was just blitzed out of his mind.
Wow.
So the fact that they got, you know...
Yeah.
I don't know if that was the same day or whatever.
Right.
But that was the shot where they couldn't find Belushi and he was just out of his mind.
Disappeared a lot. There's one time that he disappeared and it was like on a night shoot or something and Ackroyd had to go find him. And so he was looking for him everywhere. There was one house on the street that had its lights on and he knocked on the door and he was like going to say, you know, hey, look, I'm Dan Ackroyd. I'm looking for, you know, my friend. We were shooting a movie or whatever. He knocked on the door and they go, you must be here for John, huh? He's like, yeah. He goes, yeah, he came in here. He asked for a glass of milk and a sandwich, and then he passed out on our couch.
So, that's incredible.
Yeah,
you know what? I didn't even think about that when I was watching this
Ackroyd
movie.
Yeah, Ackroyd even said that the Coke was built into the budget of the movie. Because they were going to be working late hours.
Yeah.
Everybody was doing Coke on this movie.
Yeah.
Not just Belushi.
Carrie Fisher.
Was Ackroyd, though?
Ackroyd, yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I thought he was kind of more of a straight edgy.
No.
I guess maybe the drinking he didn't do as much or something.
Why?
Well, I don't know.
Nobody did as much as Belushi.
Yeah,
I don't think most people could.
No.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's incredible though. Is that they found him in that state, and then I mean he didn't have to do anything for that shot or anything. He just had to kind of stand there. But I mean I guess he's famous for doing that.
He's famous
for being blissed out and then showing up and performing.
But when action is called, it's like he turns it on.
And then when it's cut, it's off.
Yeah,
like
right.
He's out.
That's incredible. I didn't even think about any of that shit.
Oh, yeah.
I was watching this. I was too busy enjoying the movie.
It's
a really good movie. I didn't think I was going to like it, but I'll get to that later.
Seen Animal House, but you haven't seen like pretty much any other John Landis movie. Especially
American Werewolf in London.
That's one that we're definitely gonna have to cover.
Haven't seen that one.
That
so okay,
great.
But
the Stupids.
Okay, yeah, so that's actually one of my first.
Beverly Hills Cop 3.
That's we are gonna do Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah, he hasn't
wait,
seen Beverly
he only
Hills
did
Cop.
Three, or he only did number three.
He only directed number three.
Okay,
we might not get that far.
So I wrote in my notes. I wrote, co-written by Landis. And then I go, directed by Landis. But see, here's the thing. I had him mixed up with Harold Ramis. It's a connection to a future episode that we're going to do. Strikes.
Well, here's the deal about written by John Landis. Ackroyd wrote it.
Yeah.
Right.
And this was his first screen.
Yeah, it was over 200 pages or something, right?
It was, because usually...
Oh, I heard this story. That's right.
And he turned it in, and it was... Yeah.
Way too long.
Way too
bloated.
Long. So I don't think Landis edited the screenplay. So he may have written, but I think his main contribution was editing the screenplay down.
Yeah,
that's right. Okay.
To a shootable.
And he had to do it much that he took co-writing credit.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
It was 324 pages long.
So this was their first post SNL movie or whatever, right?
Well, 1980. Yeah.
Was it?
No, because Belushi had done 1941.
That
right before this.
Was it before? Yes, it was before.
Yeah,
they both did. Belushi and Ackroyd
were
both in.
And it was a bomb.
It was a flop.
Was that the Spielberg movie?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, right.
Who was in the movie?
Was this?
He
Spielberg,
was in his
yeah,
own
he,
movie?
No, he was in Blues Brothers.
He was in Blues Brothers.
Oh, what?
He's the tax
collector. Oh, man.
I missed it. We also skipped over one, but he was the tax collector at the end.
Yeah.
That's Steven Spielberg.
What?
The guy who's eating the sandwich and says, be back in 5 minutes.
That was Steven Spielberg?
Yeah, that's Steven Spielberg.
Dude, he looks so young.
My wife hates it when I say this.
It was 30 years ago.
It was 40 years ago.
Wow.
40,
yeah, that's right.
40.
Shit, I'm showing my age, man.
But anyway, you were talking about the majestic opening.
Yeah.
For the longest time, they've added scenes. The version you watched, and I'm pretty sure we watched, was an extended version.
No, I watched the theatrical version.
Oh, you
did?
They had that option.
Yeah.
So
I had never seen the extended one yet.
I've seen the extended one. And a lot of stuff is added in the extended.
Sure.
So, because the extended version is 2.5 hours.
Yeah. Right, right. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, the glue factory scene where he goes and quits his job.
Yes.
Which I kind of didn't like. One, because it was pretty boring and it was unnecessary. But also, he didn't wear his sunglasses.
Exactly. I was just, you read my mind. Because
Belushi didn't wear his sunglasses?
No, the theatrical version, the Aykroyd. Only time you ever see both of them is when Belushi does that reveal.
Yeah.
But they add, now the good thing about the glue factory scene added,
is it
why
he has all that glue.
You know why he has that at the end of the movie.
There's also
a scene where they park in a under a bunch of generators, transformers, and like Aykroyd wanted that in the thing to make the car get superpowers so that it could fly at the end and then like be that crazy magic car. And Landis is like, we're going to cut that, and the car's just magic.
Yeah,
like we'll just take
it. I loved that.
Yeah. But the other cameo that you missed talking about the opening is Frank Oz.
Frank Oz.
Really?
Yeah, you know who Frank Oz is, right?
Well, that's an easy cameo to miss, though, because he's not usually on camera.
But he's the guy giving him all of his
if I saw Yoda in that fucker, I'd be like, yeah, that's Yoda.
Well, you did see...
I did see Yoda,
technically. Was it Miss Piggy or Kermit, where the guy is...
He's holding up Grover.
He's holding up Grover, and he goes,
do you have Miss Piggy?
Yeah.
Oh, I missed all that.
Because Grover is Sesame Street.
Miss Piggy
is
Muppets.
Yeah. And
and he didn't do the voice of Grover, did he?
No.
Yeah. But he's the guy that gives him back his belongings.
That was Frank Oz?
One cop used. Yeah.
Okay. I knew he looked familiar. I knew he looked familiar, but I haven't seen Frank Oz's face enough.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to way more that you're going to pass over, I'm sure, because there's no way you know all these. You probably know all the music people.
Yes, I knew most of them.
Bryce is also in a band. He's a music boy.
Yes, I'm in a band that's
called the Music Boys.
We're the Music Boys.
not much worse of a name, actually.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, thanks, Chase. Yeah.
Jody Seabody and the Whirls.
Yeah, that's it.
They're good though.
Thank you. Yeah, go check us out, everybody that's listening. You know, buy our records.
I will save it for the plugs.
Okay.
All right, continue. I'm sorry.
What was I gonna say?
So the opening shot.
Okay, yeah. So what? All right, no, we don't need to talk about that. All right. So the
self-editing.
I did. The nun chastising them from the steps.
Yeah.
That was an awesome shot too.
Yeah.
It was just
the way she floats.
Yeah. Okay, so that happens. And then it goes to the church scene where James Brown makes his appearance.
Cab Calloway.
No, yeah, because they talk to Cab Calloway.
Right.
They go, yeah.
Well, but no, what I was going to say, though,
the nun is a cameo. What was her name? She was somebody.
Kathleen Freeman.
Yeah, but she was somebody.
She was a big character actress.
Okay.
She worked with Jerry Lewis a lot.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
yeah. So I have seen her in several things.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, there's got to be some Jerry Lewis movies you haven't seen.
No, actually, those are the only movies I've seen.
The Day the Clown.
Yeah.
I love that one.
I've seen that one.
Is that the one where he plays like a bunch of different characters with that little girl?
No, The Day the Clown Died. That's that infamous movie.
Oh, the one that he never released.
Right, yeah.
That's supposed to be released in like 3 years or something, right?
Oh, it is?
Yeah,
I haven't heard that.
It was supposed to be released 25 years after he died or some weird shit.
I already seen it. It's pretty good. So we won't do an episode on that one, unfortunately.
Bryce has seen no movies except for the one movie
that
nobody
has seen. Him and Harry Shearer are the only two people who've seen that movie.
Harry Shearer has seen
that movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What does he just claim?
Why would he claim that? Like,
I don't know, because people do weird brags, man.
The thing is, callback, they wanted to do a remake of that with Chevy Chase.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Everyone was using Chevy Chase back in his day,
Chevy Chase...
He was big.
He's talented. We talked about it. He's fucking talented.
Yeah.
He's fucking
funny. But the thing is, you don't realize realize how big at one point Chevy Chase, Dan Aykroyd, and Belushi were.
Right.
I mean, at one point, they were the biggest.
Well, they were super. They were super bankable even after several flops. I mean, 1941 was a disastrous flop, but then this one came out of nowhere and was a huge hit.
Yeah.
And then
Neighbors.
You know, Neighbors was really bad.
Now, I'll defend Neighbors. I enjoy Neighbors.
Well, I saw it once, and I was much younger.
Yes.
And the only thing I do know about that movie, other than I just didn't think it was that funny because I didn't know sex yet, but it's got a lot of sex stuff in it, like edible panties. I remember at one point.
Yeah.
But they switched the script on them. Like, yes. where John Belushi was the straight man, and Aykroyd was the goofy one in that movie.
Right.
But that one bombed too, didn't it?
Yes, that one was a huge bomb.
Sure. And then Ghostbusters came out after that. That was originally going to have Belushi
yeah.
But he died. And they put in...
Murray. Yeah, that's sad that he died that quickly.
Well, again, we've been talking about him
doing mounds of coke. Like, actually, how we talked about how was Pacino doing all that coke?
Yeah.
Belushi was.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, while they were making that movie. But anyway, and it's just in his house. What I was going to say was that scene combined with the church scene that comes up pretty soon after.
Yeah.
So it sets a tone. It starts setting a tone of, being very theatrical and big. And then it goes into, not only will this be theatrical and big, but it's also going to be kind of absurdist, too.
Yeah,
it's
and supernatural
be,
elements. Yeah.
And I was like, yes, give me all of this. I love it.
The jumping of the people doing flips
yes,
in the church.
Yes, dude. And the light shining through and shining onto Belushi and him going blue and James Brown.
I've been to my share of Southern Baptist revivals and church services. It's not too far off from that. It is, like, you go and you're like, man, I feel it.
No, I get that. Yeah. So James Brown's cameo, though, that man could sweat in a freezer, bro. He fucking... Does he ever stop sweating?
No, he's like...
He's been dead for 5 years.
He's
still sweating.
He's sweating in the grave, man.
He's sweating in the grave. Now, that's the name of a band. Sweating in the grave.
Or just a good album. You know, yes, just like a solid... James Brown, I wish...
The Music Boys present Sweating in the Grave!
That's actually, dude, I'm actually going to kind of think about that.
Note of that one.
Yeah, note that one. Hey, people listening at home, note that one for us.
We'll have to get in touch with the Music Boys and see if we can get them to...
That's true. I got to get together with the rest of the guys. I got to get the band back together, you know?
Yeah.
We'll find them. Yeah.
You're on a mission from Scott.
We're on a mission from Scott.
Yes.
Perfect. But I was going to say, because we've already talked about Jake being dead, or John, I mean, we've talked about, Catherine Freeman, I'm sure she's dead. Cab Calloway's dead.
Well, Cab Calloway is dead.
Okay, James Brown, Cab Calloway, who the fuck is that?
Cab Calloway?
He's just a famous blues musician.
He was one of the first black crossover.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Because in the 30s and 40s.
Yeah,
he was
one of the
first... one of the first black performers to cross over into
mainstream.
Into mainstream.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Minnie the Moocher was one of his first major big hits.
Okay, see that's what confused me though, is that song was more like vaudeville or whatever.
It was jazzy.
Because it was in the 30s.
Jazzy. Yeah. Well, and then when they wanted him to do the movie, he had to re-record it because the old masters weren't good enough, and he wanted to record the version that he had just released, which was a disco version. And they were like, no, sir, we don't want to do the disco version for the Blues Brothers.
I wish we could have your phone hooked up so we could play that in the background
real quick. We'll find it in the break.
Okay. Well, then, good. That was the only music cameo that I didn't know, because the other ones are all pretty fucking obvious.
Then?
Wait, he was in it?
Yeah.
Johnny
I missed
Hooker?
Oh,
wow, wow, wow.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hey. Hey.
It's right before they go into Ray's music shop.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
oh, you know what? Yeah. You know what? So, full disclosure.
Was that Ray's or was that the...
Easy
no, way, was that the Ray's?
Have a speaking part.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was that before Ray's or was that
before Ray's?
Yeah, they're all dancing in the street and shit. So...
It was right before the diner.
That's
right
what
before
it is,
the
yeah.
diner. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
That's what it is.
So, full disclosure, while I was watching this, Ashley's friend, my fiance, Scott, Ashley's friend, Jen, had just gotten into town.
Uh-huh.
And so they were... catching up while I was watching it, which was fine, but some of the conversation I indulged in, and so I missed little chunks of it. But this kind of movie, though, the way it's all kind of spliced together,
it's a haphazard
thing that where, you know, you get the idea of it, you know, as long as you just keep an eye on it, but which is also really fun. I didn't catch John Lee Hooker because of that very reason, but that's really cool. And then when they go into the diner,
Aretha Franklin
is there.
Yeah, Aretha Franklin is one of the most famous ones about it. But her and, to get back to Brown, they were, all of these people don't lip sync. Like, especially right. Aretha or James, like, they're performers. So the idea of lip syncing is lost on them because they don't even, they don't do it exactly the same every time. So they had to get them to lip sync, and it was really not easy. And if you watch if you watch the Aretha Franklin thing, the lip syncing is bad.
Not good,
Yeah, it is way off because she's not.
She's not doing the face.
And she's got to feel it, you know, I mean.
Yeah.
Also, another person in this movie that is dead is Aretha Franklin. And the last time I was watching this before we were going to do it on the podcast, it was on TV, and I was watching it with my wife, and she was like, oh, I don't want to watch the Blues Brothers. I was like, baby, it's really funny. So we did it, and she loved it. But the whole time in the podcast, I was sitting there while we were watching it, I was like, man, everybody's dead in this movie. And then 3 days later, Aretha Franklin died.
See, you, that was all you, dude.
I killed her. I killed Aretha Franklin.
You fucking did it by watching it. Your wife tried to save her life by not,
not
watching
letting
it.
Us watch it, right? Exactly.
Thanks a lot, Chase. R.I.P. Aretha. So that was great, though, seeing her in it. That guy, the white dude cook that turned into the saxophone player, could not look more like a saxophone player, you know, from that to
the... The funny thing about this movie is some of the blues band can act, and some of them can't. And it's very, you know which ones can with...
Right.
Why? What do you mean?
Yeah,
okay. Donald Duck Dunn, I think he doesn't ever say anything. He just has his little pipe.
Oh, he goes, well,
he looked, he looked awesome.
Fits, that's right.
If the shit fits, then wear it.
It's bad.
But, I liked him the best,
Murphy was pretty good.
Yeah.
He's fine.
And the guy who played keyboard.
Oh, yeah. I forget his name.
I forget his name, but he replaced Paul Schaefer.
Yeah.
Because Paul Schaefer is the original pianist. In the blues band, in the Blues Brothers band.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
But he had some conflict. He either had a conflict, or him and Belushi had a falling out.
He didn't do something with them. He stood him up for some gig to do another band, or he was in another band
something
to release
like
a record, and Belushi was butthurt about it.
Oh,
and, I mean, our Aykroyd was butthurt about it. They said we're not going to use him anymore.
Oh, so it was Aykroyd kind of behind the scenes being like, fuck you, Schaefer, I'm going to...
Is it Murphy Dunn or Tom Malone? I forget which one.
Tom Malone is the trumpet player. So
okay, Murphy Dunn, Murph Dunn.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, imagine how even more legendary this movie would have been with Paul Schaefer there.
You want to know what's even worse than...
He was in Spinal Tap.
The saxophone is looking like a saxophone. Uh-huh. His name is Lou Marini.
Nice.
How much more sex?
Lulu Marini.
Lulu Marini.
Lulu Marini.
How much more saxophone can you get?
Yeah, that's true.
And if we're talking about Paul Schaefer, Paul Schaefer wrote the song "It's Raining Men."
Yeah,
did he really?
Yes, he co-wrote the song "It's Raining Men."
Who recorded that song? Who was the
Weather Girls?
Oh wow! When was that? Was that in the
78?
'80s? Yeah, 78.
It was at the height of disco. 77.
Wow, so Paul Schaefer wrote the lyrics then.
Paul,
right?
I don't know what he co-wrote.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it wasn't, some of the SNL band members, weren't they part of the Blues Brothers band?
Oh, absolutely, yes. Yeah. If you watch the old SNL, you can see.
Because, like, the saxophonist, I think he was.
I think the drummer is different from the TV show and the movie, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, because the drummer and one of the lead guitarists were in another band, I forget the name of it, it was one of their songs was in the movie when they're driving, when they're first in the Bluesmobile.
Okay.
So,
well, that's cool.
Anyway.
Yeah, that's
tight. I just had to pull it to a complete stop, apparently.
yeah, that's it. I mean, that's the end of the cast. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
No problem.
It's been great. No, what were we? I was gonna say something in there.
Yeah, it was James Brown. That's where we got
James Brown sweating in a freezer.
Yeah, he can sweat in a freezer.
The Lost Boys sweating in the grave.
Oh, who was the guy? So when they go and they play the country bar, who was the fucking guy? Okay, first of all,
Charles Napier, the guy. The fucking teeth.
That's the good old boys guy.
Where have I seen him in?
You've seen him in everything.
Right. Is he just one of those guys?
He's one of those guys.
But does he
have
a role?
It's hard to tell him everything, though.
Yeah.
Silence of the Lambs.
Okay, I wouldn't remember him in that.
He's Rambo, but you haven't seen Rambo.
No.
First Blood Part 2.
He's like a general in something. He's like an army man.
Well, that might have been Rambo.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, he's been in, I just looked at him, he's been in 203 things.
He's one of those guys.
Yeah,
right.
He's that character actor.
Like, I think there's a documentary called Oh, That Guy.
Yeah.
Where they, oh, yeah, yeah.
Where and they just...
I've seen a few
episodes. It's just character actors.
Right, right.
He's one of those. He's one of those yeah. Oh, he's That
been,
Guy.
Okay,
I mean,
yeah,
he's
yeah.
been working since 67.
Yeah.
Wow. So I definitely had one of those moments when he stepped out, though. I was like, when have I seen this guy?
That's it. He's not known for anything specific.
Uh-huh.
He's just prolific.
Yeah, yeah,
he's
yeah.
not specific.
He's prolific. That's a motto. I'm going to get that tattooed right above my butthole.
Oh, he was on six
it's
episodes.
It's not prolific.
BJ
it's specific.
And he's mainly a heavy.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's got the type for it, you know?
No,
he's
yeah.
got the look
he's
for it.
He's definitely got the look and the voice.
Yeah. But, so, the other thing about that scene, though, is they didn't show up for their own gig until the bar was closed.
Yeah, well, they said something, they said they ran out of gas or something.
They're running low.
Oh, did
yeah.
they?
No, they yeah, were, that's like, a very contrived plot
yeah.
point, right?
Yeah,
because
yeah.
they got there clearly well after two
yeah.
or
yeah.
something.
Because yeah. not only is the place closed, they
yeah,
closed down, they moved
yeah,
all the equipment
cleaning
up,
everything,
it's like
yeah.
they're sweeping
there's
up.
There's two old drunks dancing, that's
yeah.
all that's left.
The lady is...
So if you figure...
Yeah.
Bars close at 2.
Right.
So
why even roll up?
Yeah.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
be like, what?
And
you
like,
took
we're
our
here
kid?
To play.
Yeah.
Like, no, you
so
weren't here to play.
They're rolling up 2:30, 3
at
o'clock
least,
in the morning.
At least.
So.
Yeah. That's pretty funny. That's actually going to be the Music Boys, my band. That's going to be our strategy.
Is to show up at 2:30.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right after
for every
play.
Show, and just see how that works out.
Let somebody else go.
And just yeah, and to talk shit to the people that played in our place and tell them that they're gonna. It's going to be hard for them to do something without teeth.
Without any fucking
without any
teeth.
Fucking teeth. So okay, yeah.
And there's and it's weird that scene has a hint of. Anti-Semitism.
Yeah,
because Belushi calls himself "I'm so and so Stein," and he goes, "What are you gonna do about it, Stein?"
Oh,
yeah. So
it's like, damn, Landis or Aykroyd. What's up with that?
Well, I mean,
I think it's just the character.
Well,
of this.
Yeah,
it's the stereotypical
yeah.
Southern.
Oh well, you know, and they also okay, so they like fucked up some Nazi a parade
yeah.
or something,
yeah. the
which
Illinois
that
Nazis.
Was like random.
I hate
shit.
Illinois Nazis. Illinois
yeah,
Nazis.
I hate Illinois Nazis. Yeah, which I wrote that line down. That was pretty funny. But
yeah,
there was really random. I wasn't expecting
yeah,
there to.
There was
even,
a real thing that they were. There was something about them actually.
I'm sure there
were.
Yeah.
yeah, like the Chicago Illinois Nazis or something were a problem quite often.
That is my least
to the
favorite
point where they
baseball
favorite
team.
Kind of Nazi. Yeah.
My,
Illinois Nazis.
No, it's my least favorite baseball team, the Chicago,
Chicago
Nazis.
Nazis.
Yeah. Never root for those guys.
Never.
Fucking assholes.
I like that they drive the Pinto.
Yeah.
Yes.
But they've made their visit to the they're like practically living in the White House now, you know, ever since 2016.
Let's get into politics.
No. Let's see. Did I say the thing about Pier 1 imports?
Yeah. Yes.
Paul Rubens is in this
yes,
movie.
Yes, okay, I was going to say.
You caught
that. Dude,
yeah.
that blew my mind. I was like, because this
and
is
like,
before he was
yeah,
Pee Wee Herman and shit.
Yeah, this wasn't,
so
wasn't even
was,
a cameo. This was just a job.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
This was just, this movie has a lot of care, you know, actors coming up
uh-huh.
and going down.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, which ones were going down?
Well, I mean.
Well, I mean older. Like Cap Calloway.
Okay.
Older, like,
oh, right.
Like Mark
well,
Freeman, the
yeah.
nun.
Right, right,
the
right.
Nazi
right.
Henry Gibson.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Which These also are, famously from The Burbs.
The Burbs, yes.
Oh, which I haven't seen.
Yeah, you haven't seen it.
Rita
and then there's people
it.
Coming up like, well, Carrie Fisher was coming
yeah.
up.
Yes.
John Candy.
This was actually.
Oh, yeah,
yeah
Candy
John
was
Candy.
In it.
Yeah, I forgot about
I wrote that down.
And this was
yes,
actually
so
released
many fucking
on
people.
The same day that Empire Strike Back was released.
Oh, really?
Was it really?
Yeah.
So
the same
damn
day.
She was just
yeah.
fucking scooping
yeah.
it up. Well, she was already in,
well,
you know, A New Hope had been out
well,
already.
She was known yeah. for Star Wars. This was...
Right.
So
but the filming of it could have been around the...
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Well, and she was on, like I said earlier, the first appearance...
And Return of the Jedi
the
wasn't until
the,
83. That's when she wore the thing
yes,
that made her a
yeah.
true
Yeah,
star.
But the first appearance of the Blues Brothers on SNL as the Blues Brothers themselves or whatever,
yeah.
she was the host. And that was in, like, 78 or 77.
Serendipitous.
Yeah.
That's
and
crazy.
And then she ended up being in the movie.
Yeah.
You notice,
so that was the other thing.
You know,
that,
she doesn't have a name.
Right.
She's credited
right.
as Mysterious Woman.
Right.
Is she?
Yeah, yeah.
No problem.
See, to me, the Blues Brothers is a very, it's not known as a quotable movie, but it is
so quotable.
But the quotes, just like that, it's like, who is that? And just, no problem.
Yeah. It's one that, like, if I wish my wife liked it more, because she loves, like, weird things in movies. Like, her things that she quotes all the time are from, like, The Aviator. Which is just, it's a Western, Howard. Like, I don't understand how that happens to come up in our daily life almost every day. Yeah. But she does get that in, you know.
But to me, it's just like we're going to Bob's Country Bunker. Just, yeah. It's like, we'll go talk to Bob. And, you know, Belushi's like, and Ackroyd's like,
I like to.
And Ackroyd's like, We'll
sign a traveler's check over to you. You know, I like to get inside the car and write it out on the dash like that.
On the dash lid.
And, you know, my pen. It's sitting there.
Yeah, hell yeah. Well, and my favorite, I don't know if we recorded, but I was telling y'all earlier when they're sitting there talking to each other in the car and Belushi's like, what, so you were lying to me the whole time? He's like, well, I wasn't lying to you. It was bullshit. I took the liberty of bullshitting you.
Yeah. And the way he says it, really
hits the bull.
Hits the B.
Yeah.
I was just bullshitting you.
Really?
No, you lied to me. No, it was bullshit.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
You sold the caddy? It was a good deal. For this car, no, for a microphone.
Oh, yeah, I can see that. Okay. Yeah, I like that line a lot. But, yeah.
Now, okay, I'll give you some the two troopers that are following him.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of the movie that Ackroyd directed called Nothing But Trouble?
Yes. I own that on VHS.
Wait, isn't that the disturbing one?
Or it is
disturbing.
Very weird. It's very weird.
Right, the dark comedy or whatever?
The dark comedy.
I mean, I think he thought it was a dark comedy. It's weird. It's very weird.
It's very weird.
It's worth a watch.
It is worth a watch.
Yeah, okay. Maybe we'll do an episode on it.
Well, I think a lot of people have not seen it.
Yeah, they haven't seen it, and it's hard to find.
Wow.
And they already did it on How Did This Get Made anyway, so.
Oh. Well, whatever. What that means, we can't do it.
They've done it on Red Letter Media, too.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Those two troopers appear in that movie as those two troopers.
Yeah.
Oh.
So the Blues Brothers and Nothing But Trouble take place in the same universe. So.
Awesome. That's pretty tight.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, it like doesn't Ackroyd play multiple parts of that?
Yes, he plays two, and so does Candy.
Yeah.
And once again, you were talking about Chevy Chase being a dick.
Yeah.
Apparently, he was a huge dick on. Oh shit, that's me. Apparently, he was a huge dick on that film.
Yeah.
So, really?
Yeah.
Well, but, we've heard stories about him being that on every set almost.
But that one was also like apparently a train wreck film too. So.
Sure, I could imagine.
But yeah. Anyway, so I mean, this movie is extremely quotable.
Yes,
For my entire life, it's not line heavy, but the lines that are in it have impact.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah,
because to me,
it's like Ghostbusters in that way.
Yes,
a little bit. Yeah,
not the remake.
No,
because the remake they always bring up in the remake, and they compare the remake to the original.
Uh-huh.
Is like they're always talking. It's like we can't have a moment of silence. I'm delivering, delivering my soup. Yeah, blah blah blah. You know. And some of the funniest moments in the Blues Brothers is just when Ackroyd and Belushi just turn to each other.
Yeah.
And give each other a look and then go back. The most silent.
Yeah.
It's comedy moments.
It's comedy moments,
Not like clever script writing or even story driven. You know, like even because with Ghostbusters is high concept, but there's really not a lot of plot.
No, and there's not a lot of plot in the Blues Brothers, because throughout the movie, they keep reminding, we'll get the pay, you know, they're getting $5,000 to save the conservatory.
Uh-huh, yeah.
That's the plot.
Yeah.
Right.
And nobody remembers it, so, like, throughout the movie, they're like,
they just throw it in,
it's like, that's why they're on this quest.
Glue all these crazy bits together like a jigsaw puzzle.
Most people would say, what is the Blues Brothers about? They're like, getting the band back together. That's really not what it's about.
No, it's not.
That's just a means to the end.
Right.
You know.
No, I love it. I love how it takes on a fantasy feel.
Yeah.
And the fucking end, dude. So. When at first at the end, when he backs up, during the car, so epic car chase at the end.
Because a lot of people, I'm sorry.
No, yeah, no.
A lot of people say that the best chase on film is Bullet.
Bullet or
French Connection.
French Connection. Yeah. I will put this.
This one is.
I put this.
It was awesome.
It's awesome.
It held the record for a while of most cars crashed. It was 103, and then but then it was broke a couple of years later. two decades later, it was broken by Matrix Reloaded with 300 cards.
I also believe at a time this held the record for the longest credits a movie had.
Yeah, yes.
Oh, because they introduced everyone individually.
Well, that, but all the stunts.
There was a ton of stunts. There was, they shot all those things on the road. They had to get hundreds of extras in for that.
We
actually just saw that when we were watching the thing downstairs.
Right.
Like, they were driving 100 miles an hour underneath the L train, and it looked like they sped up the film, because...
That part was fucking was awesome. Real. The shots really were awesome,
they
dude.
They were really driving 100 miles an hour.
And it looked like playing it looked like Grand... Dude, by the end of it was Grand Theft Auto 3.
Well, there's that part in
including
Grand Theft Auto where
you
got under
the L train
like
falling
that.
And shit. It was like on Grand Theft Auto when you just went off a high-ass ramp and your car's just floating into there, you know?
Usually when a movie's like... throws it, it's like, oh, we're gonna take this part of it. This movie works as an action movie. This movie works as a musical. Yes.
Right.
This movie works as a comedy.
Yeah.
It works on all three levels.
Every part of it is good.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's actually, speaking of the musical, I wrote, so Scott, in our journey of doing this podcast, I have revealed or talked about several times how I hate musicals. I'm not really a musical fan.
I'm not a musical fan either.
Yeah. Thank you, God. Finally, another normal human being. This fucking guy over Chase.
I don't really like musicals. I just
don't. Now he says it. Okay,
like
peer pressure.
I just like Moulin Rouge.
Just kidding.
I go to Hamilton and I just yell out, "Where's George? Where's George?"
See, love it, Chase. Get on this level, okay?
I'm trying.
All right. No, but anyway, I wrote a note down in here, which I can't find right now, but I realized about halfway through, I was like, you know what? I believe I've been duped into liking a musical.
Yep.
Because it is a musical.
It is a musical.
Yeah. And
South Park is a musical.
And it is very good.
Yes.
That's because they know how to do it.
Right.
They do it with tact.
Well,
they
South
don't
Park
do it
guys,
just to fucking
the South
throw
Park guys
music
have
in there.
Done it several times, and it took them a little while to get perfect. The Cannibal
well,
the musical,
the movie
is that one.
The movie was
Cannibal.
Oh,
the
Cannibal.
Musical.
I haven't seen it from start to finish, but I've seen clips of it.
It's pretty funny, but it's also you're like, wow, these are teenagers writing this movie,
right,
college
right.
kids writing this movie.
Nothing will ever top basketball, so I don't even want to talk about it. All right, movie beside
Bob Costas, feel these nipples,
yes.
sir. My nipples
yes,
are hard.
Dude, the fact that
to this day he regrets delivering. He always to this day he regrets delivering that line.
Of course
line.
He does, because because there was a point when Costas was cool, and then he eventually took himself too seriously, and now he's all like, oh, I can't believe that I, Bob Costas, said that. You used to not have a giant stick up your ass. But anyway, this isn't the Bob Costas podcast.
No, but I will say he did get pink eye one time.
Oh, man. During the Olympics.
Yeah,
pink eye during the Olympics.
It's the worst Olympics in recent history, or probably ever, like where everything was going wrong, and then he had
that was.
Pink
oh,
eye.
Yeah, that when they
that
were.
When they were all trapped in their
they were
bathrooms.
Trapped. There was no water. They couldn't, go
to the
bathroom.
That's right.
They
break the
Sochi,
out of their,
or the Sochi or whatever.
Sochi,
Olympics.
Yeah.
Yeah, he picked the wrong day to munch on a butthole.
That looks like I picked the wrong day to get pink eye. What movie am I quoting?
Oh.
Kind of. Looks like I picked the wrong day.
Oh, that's
an
Airplane. I don't think you've seen it.
You haven't seen Airplane?
No.
No.
See, it's
got to put
that.
You got to put Airplane on
there. We might have to have you back for that episode.
I will be back. I will
actually,
come back
that's
for
a good
airplane.
Idea.
Yeah.
That's
I
a
will
really
come back
idea.
For Airplane.
Awesome. Okay, great. Well, anyway, all right. See you later. It was great. Bye. No.
We talked about the shopping mall. I was going to throw out this one. John Landis has a cameo in the shopping mall. He's in one of the cop cars that shows up.
He has a cameo in the entire fucking movie. He's behind the camera directing it, Chase. Duh. Fucking stupid.
Oh, and Chaka Khan.
Oh,
Chaka
really?
Chaka Khan was the
really?
Choir singer in the church theme.
Now,
oh.
Robin Williams.
Oh. Was that before
Chaka
yes.
Khan?
Robin Williams has a cameo
yes,
in this
does.
Movie.
Kind of, yeah.
Kinda. Did you catch it?
I don't think
hold
he
on,
did.
Wait. Give me the scene. Give me the scene.
Mall scene.
He's in the mall.
He's in the mall scene. Robin Williams.
No.
They smash through the record store,
Morgan
and his
Mindy.
Album, Reality, what a concept.
Yeah, there's a standee
is
of
is a
him,
standee,
yeah.
and so it's really displayed. You
right
can,
there?
Yes. So
and they crash right through it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he has a kind of cameo in this
I
movie.
Like
yeah.
that. I like that. I wish we could do more Robin Williams movies on this podcast, but I've seen a lot of Robin because I love
Robin
Williams.
Robin Williams is an enigma to me because he makes good movies,
mm-hmm.
but he was also known as a huge thief in the stand-up world.
Yeah.
Oh,
Was he? So, he okay, huge, you are a, so,
he was
you
a huge
are a
stand-up,
stand-up comedian
stand-up,
of,
yes.
And let's just clarify that for everyone here that's listening, because I don't know if we've done that yet, but you've been doing stand-up for, what, 20?
20 years.
20 years. So, okay, so that is true then.
Yo, as far absolutely. As like, 100% true.
Wow. And
yeah, he used to go
I've
to
heard those rumors, but I didn't.
And just take material.
Yes.
Oh, that's.
But he's
so
also
he was
had a
the
way
Carlos
about him,
Mencia
like,
of his
see,
time.
But there's also a way about it. See, it, there, like Chase was saying, there's a way about him where people are just like, it's Robin.
Yeah, I mean, he also has a very. Like, he gets up on stage, or not anymore, he's been dead for a while. But when he would get up on stage, it was very stream of consciousness. And
right.
Like he didn't even really write out most of his stuff.
So it would be if Chase and I were talking, and Chase told me a joke that he does. I'd be on stage, and then all of a sudden, stream of consciousness. I would say, Chase.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie.
And I tried to. It's not really defense. It's
It's just. Well, I mean,
we do it for what. We do similar things on this podcast all the time. We'll bring up an inside joke from another podcast or something.
We always credit.
Also,
everyone.
We're not making any money off of it.
And that's true too.
Wait a minute, I'm not getting paid?
Fuck
this!
Chase, you blew the cover, man. You fucking idiot.
Yes, I'm getting paid with this podcast is brought to you by Soli. Lemon-flavored sparkling water
beverage. No, not the
beverage.
Podcast. You are brought to us by Soli.
It's calorie-free, sweetener-free, and taste-free.
Do you like LaCroix? Here's the Randall's brand.
Actually, this is better than LaCroix. LaCroix is undrinkable. How people drink
better.
LaCroix? I don't, how do we get on fucking LaCroix?
No,
back to the Blues Brothers.
Because we're riffing, baby. We're riffing.
And now we're just like Robin Williams.
Yeah, exactly. We just stole
several minutes of material.
Yeah,
we stole several minutes of people's time.
Okay, so I wanted to just get back to at the end. I wanted to say this before we get into get into the rating and the maybe recast and shit. Because
I mean, we still
there.
Got things to talk about in this movie.
So I wanted to just talk about the end with the car chase scene. So
I was going to tell you that last scene. The 500 extras between the crowds and the cops and the SWAT teams and everything like that in that last scene that we're talking about now, the big chasing. There's 500 extras alone. So that's one of the reasons the credits got so long.
That's fucking nuts.
Now, I was
too many extras.
So here, let's see if you caught this camera.
Okay.
It's the very last person mentioned on the credits.
Oh, okay.
Well, I didn't watch the end of the credits because it was late as fuck. And I was like, I got to go to work.
Is it in the jailhouse scene?
Yes.
Is it Joe Walsh?
Yes!
Yeah. Wait, just credit him or was he in the movie?
He was in the movie.
Yeah, wait,
there were scenes going on during the credits?
No, at the... So when they're playing in the jailhouse, the inmate that jumps up and starts the dance riot, that's Joe Walsh.
That's Joe Walsh.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. That's fucking crazy. And he was already in the Eagles.
Oh, no, yeah.
He was already
Wow, that's fucking
He just did it
Dude,
because
how did he was like, yeah, I want
to
be in this.
I just wanted to, you want to be in a movie?
Yeah,
I want to be in a movie.
Can I jump on a thing and start a prison
You're gonna
riot?
Be, yeah. You're going to be in a room with thousands of extras.
Yeah.
He's like, fuck yeah, I'm Joe Walsh.
I mean, those were all, like, there's no CG in this.
No.
So, like, you know, all of those extras in the prison are real people.
Are you telling me that they didn't use computer digital graphics in this? Or
here goes with this Robert De Niro face again.
Yes, that's a great face for a podcast.
Yeah, I know.
The people watching at
the live stream,
on the live stream.
On the live stream.
Oh, wait a minute.
Let
me put on my
pants.
Please
search for it. Yeah, exactly.
You gotta have enough money on our Patreon page.
Yeah, you gotta donate enough to get
the link. We'll have to get you to sign a release.
Yeah. What people can't tell is that we're all just sitting here fucking buck-ass naked. All of our wieners
are
out.
We
need to add a tier on Patreon. If there's enough money donated, I will come back and do the airplane podcast.
There we go.
And it has to be enough money to get me another...
Soli,
or is it Soli?
I call it Soliel, which is wrong.
Soliel. So we need enough money for a case of Soliel for me to come back and do...
I think it's called Punky Brewster.
I'm thinking just one can. Just enough money for one can if we can get a good
which they're $2.50. They're breaking the bank. They cost about 12 cents a can when I get them on sale, which I usually
really
yeah.
That's pretty tight. So anyway, back to the car chase scene, right? Awesome fucking scene. And then at the end when they first did the like backup thing and the thing like so when I first saw that, I was like, oh, terrible graphics, oh my gosh. But then I realized, oh, they're just having fun, and now all of a sudden the cars can, like, do whatever they want.
Yeah.
And then the fucking Nazi car is just like, just they suddenly,
they had to get just a special license for that.
Which was just, I loved that so much, though.
But they had to
I loved
a special
so
license, a special flight license for that drop. And they had to do two practice drops before they could drop it in Chicago.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because it had to land somewhere.
Yeah.
They wanted to make sure the wind wouldn't take it.
Yeah,
and
like
it goes
way far. Yeah. So like it, and it goes, holy it falls shit. Just like that. I just love, yeah. I love you, sir.
I've always loved you.
I've always loved you.
The thing I love about this movie is they introduce, you forget about a care. It's like, oh, there's the Nazi. He's gone for a while. There's Carrie Fisher. She's gone for Twiggy.
Good old boys.
It's like that. Yeah, Twiggy. The scene with Twiggy is what I was talking about.
That's a cameo. You probably don't even know it was a cameo. Twiggy is the girl that Elwood is picking up at the gas
station. She was a supermodel in the 70s.
Oh.
Yeah.
She ended up going to the motel.
And she is there. And there's just a quick shot at midnight.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Awesome.
No words had to, you know.
Exactly.
This movie is great about setting up a joke.
Uh-huh.
And not getting to it for 20 or 30.
Right.
And when they do, it pays off.
When they get to it, it pays off.
Right.
Yeah.
The Nazis landing in the street and breaking a hole is what allows them to get away.
Right.
Because the other cars, like, their car just jumps right over the hole, and then all the other cop cars go into it.
Right.
You know, it's...
Yeah, exactly. It's fucking awesome. I loved it. I loved how surreal it was. Yeah. I wasn't expecting any of that at all. And it was a pleasant surprise, and it was a treat to watch.
Well, and then, the Blues, let's talk about the car, the Bluesmobile a little bit.
Which is a character in the movie.
Yeah. There were, let me get this right, 12 of them, I want to say. Yes, there were 12 Bluesmobiles actually made. All right, it's a 74 Dodge Monaco, and they made 12 of them for the movie, you know, for the each individual different, you know, kind of stunt, including the one that just falls
where
apart.
Where it falls apart, which was also
so
awesome.
There's only one of
that.
Those 12 that's still around. And Dan Aykroyd's brother-in-law owns it.
Oh, wow.
Peter Aykroyd?
I don't know.
Oh, no, that's his real
that
brother.
His
Peter
real brother.
Aykroyd is his real brother.
Yeah, it's his brother-in-law that owns it.
What does Peter Aykroyd do?
He is a...
Or does he do
he's
anything?
He's a musician...
Slash accountant.
Musician slash Dan Aykroyd's brother.
Okay, yeah.
Yes. He's in the Frank Stallone.
I see.
I don't think he made it onto King of Queens.
No.
Did Frank Stallone go on King of Queens?
Yeah, him and Lou Ferrigno got onto King of Queens like as themselves, I believe. Yeah. It was not a great show.
Peter Aykroyd may have gotten on According to Jim.
Soul Man.
Or Soul Man.
The short-lived Soul Man, which was
they
could have
done. Oh, God.
They
could have
done
Preacher, yeah.
They could have done the Blues Brothers with Jim Belushi and Peter Aykroyd.
Well, Jim Belushi, I'm going to say that real quick. Blues Brothers 2000, all right, which didn't come out in 2000.
It came out in
98, 99.
Well, see, 2001 Space Odyssey didn't come out in 2001.
Yeah, but it wasn't about current day. So, anyway, they made the script, they got it all there, and Aykroyd wanted Jim Belushi to play the part, and Jim Belushi wanted no part of it. He was like, no, sir, this is awful.
Yeah.
So they got the next best thing with John Goodman.
Yeah.
And that is a train wreck of a movie.
It is a... That I don't know if Jim Belushi is known for making good decisions.
But that was but the
that
one
was good, good decision.
That was the one good decision.
So what was John Goodman thinking?
The thing with that is, it's an awful movie, but I think Aykroyd just loves the character.
Yes,
he just
that's
wanted
100%.
To see him again. He just loved it. The movie's terrible, but you're going to get good music.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
That's the one thing you're going to
get.
I hate to use
the word problematic, but they do have just a child that they're taking across state lines that lives in their trunk.
Yeah.
It's very weird.
Wow, spoiler alert, Chase. Okay, Jesus. Easy. But yeah, that sounds fun. Were they doing like contemporary blues music? Was it like Stevie Ray Vaughan this time
around?
No,
they're still doing.
Yeah,
no.
still the old stuff.
Okay, well, that's cool.
But, the other thing I was going to say about the Bluesmobile is, they were driving 100 miles an hour and doing all these things.
Yeah.
One of the stunt driver, who was like one of the stand-ins, I guess, got away from them all in his car. It ended up like 300 miles further out than he should have, and he stopped to like call on a cell phone, not a cell phone, on a payphone at a gas station, and got arrested because the car doesn't have any license or anything, so they thought it was stolen. And Landis was more worried about getting the car back than getting the guy out of jail.
Yeah, of course.
Sort of like along the lines of Jaws. It's there was a scene where this guy, you know, the shark was mechanical and it didn't work all the time. So there was like the shark was working, but it was during a scene where a guy was like drowning. And Spielberg's like, "Fuck that guy. We're gonna shot because the shark's working."
Believe it or not. Never seen Jaws. He has never seen Jaws.
That's going to be an episode.
Have you seen Jaws 4, The Revenge
with Michael Caine?
No, I've seen...
This.
Wait, is that a real thing?
Oh,
yes. Jaws 4?
You have never heard of the Hitman Shark?
Jaws,
the Shark,
the Revenge.
No.
It has a taste for that family's blood. It is fucking awful.
Jaws is the perfect... how a series can decline.
In fact, there was talk of a National Lampoon Jaws movie with John Belushi in it called Jaws 3 People Zero. And that was what it was going to be called. Or it was a Jaws 3 or Jaws 4. It was one of those two. But
Well, Sharknado is all canon to Jaws, right? That's how far it devolved.
Although, it does take place in the Blues Brothers universe. Dan Aykroyd made sure of that.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, because the cops are there.
That was a joke that just fell flat.
Dude, you jumped off that ledge, brother. All right, so anyway. I think, you did great, Chase. That was good. Thank you. Thank you for providing the quality. This is going
to
be your last episode, by the way.
Yeah, I figured you're going to replace me with Scott.
Really? After he moved all the shit into his house?
Oh, no,
it's going to be his last episode.
He's still going to record it here, I'm sure.
Yeah. It's going to be a podcast version of cucking.
Where I have to come in and serve y'all Soliels.
Yeah, exactly.
Soliels. This podcast Soliels, brought to you boy. By Soliels.
Boy, bring me my Soliel.
The pumpkin.
Boy?
What was it?
Contains zero juice. Soliel.
Contains zero juice. Yeah. Does it really say that on the fucking can?
Yeah. 0% juice.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, they better give us some fucking money.
I just want free Soliels. That would save me at least $50 a month.
If we get 100 listeners,
I buy them for like $2.
Soliel, if you're listening, sponsor this podcast.
Yeah,
that's right.
I would take it. I will take
actually,
it
you know,
free.
I would, yeah,
I would take
please,
it free Soliel.
Please do it. Yes.
Bryce drinks them all the time when he's over here. He loves them.
I do. They are a lot better than La Croix.
Yeah.
You know?
All right. That being said,
right?
Yes.
La
Croix.
The famous La Croix. Of course.
I'm wearing my little
There's the quick wit.
There we go.
That's
it. That's what kept me at the poverty line for 20 years.
Wait, we didn't steal that one, did we?
No.
Did we steal that one?
We might have.
Okay, okay.
Well, if we do it now in our...
In our stand-up bits?
I'm going to listen to every fucking podcast after this, and if I hear La Croix, I...
We'll send you the royalty check.
Yes.
Okay, from Soliel.
From Soliel.
Okay,
what if they want
us
to tell them to say the name right one time?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, well, let's wrap it up.
Exactly.
I mean, is there anything else that's off the top of your head that you really wanted to get out about this movie?
No, I think we covered most of what I had.
And we'll get to some
notes.
Stuff in the recast as well.
Sure,
what about you, Scott? Is there anything...
Well, it's just the weird... I stumbled on... How I got to this movie is convoluted. When I'm much older than both of you guys.
Yeah.
So when I...
wouldn't say, what are you, 32? I'm only... Dude, I'm 30.
That's like
one.
I'm 50.
Like 88.
Yeah!
Are you 50 now?
Yeah, I'm 50.
Oh, awesome.
Five, welcome, Dano. See, I stole that one.
So when I
was 25, I thought it was younger.
So when I was younger, Nick at Night would have half-hour blocks of Saturday Night Live, SCTV, and Laugh-In.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And which is odd because John Belushi from Laugh-In and Henry Gibson from John Candy from SCTV and Henry Gibson from Laugh-In are both in this movie.
Yeah.
So that's how it got me interested in the old... It was the old Saturday Night Lives, the first four, first 5 years.
Yeah.
So that got me... So after I got interested in that, I started watching Saturday Night Live, the original ones.
Mm-hmm.
I started watching... Which took me to Animal House, and after I watched Animal House, that's how it got me to Blues Brothers. So it was a very convoluted and long road to get me to Blues Brothers. So that's how I happened upon this movie. How did you happen upon this movie?
That's actually a pretty interesting story.
That's a good question.
So fifth grade, I had a best friend, Ben Matzik. Shout out to him. And he loved this movie. It was rated R, so we weren't allowed to, like, watch it. Like, I wasn't allowed to watch it. But his dad had, they were able to make a copy of a VHS tape. And then while he was doing it, he would, like, stop it with the cousin. Which, honestly, this movie's not bad.
No.
There's no sex.
No.
There's no drugs, right, I don't think. Right. I mean, there's not.
No.
And there's very little cussing.
There is.
Right.
I mean, there's a couple of fucks here and there.
Right.
And I guess, you know. My parents didn't want me listening to that kind of stuff, but he had a copy that I could watch that was all edited with all the little cuss words out, and we were getting ready to figure out a thing to do for the talent show, and we decided to do the Blues Brothers, so we watched it probably, I mean, it was all night over and over and over again. Like, I just remember the Rawhide scene. Every time the Rawhide scene would come on, like, Ben would be, like, we would be in the middle of talking about what we were going to do, and he goes, on the third one, he hits her cigarette. Like, the third whip crack, he hits her cigarette. Every single time, while we were talking, third one, he's about to hit her cigarette. I just remember that. But, yeah,
best time.
We watched that. And actually, I have the footage of my talent show that I would like to show y'all in a little while.
We could
make fun of
that's
the podcast.
Right. Let's get on that. Let's get on that before.
Now, this movie has sort of a Mandela effect, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? Where you think you remember something.
Uh-huh.
The Mandela effect is you're 100% that this happened, but it never happened.
Right,
yeah,
okay.
Like Nelson Mandela having been dead for a long time. Isn't that what it was?
Yes.
That's what it comes from, right?
Yeah.
Everybody thinks Soul Man is in this movie.
Oh,
not. It is not in this movie.
And that's the song that we sang.
Right. The Blues Brothers
They did it in the sketches, right? On
right.
The show.
Yeah. On the show.
Right,
but
right.
Everybody
on
thinks
SNL, yeah.
Everybody thinks the song Soul Man is in the Blues Brothers.
But it's not.
It is not.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
Also
I did notice that because
they also
I was expecting it. I was
right.
waiting for it. And then by the end, I was like, oh, shit,
nope.
That song never
And the other one is Aretha Franklin doesn't sing Respect in this movie.
Yes.
No.
People
it's,
think
dude,
that. But
dude,
she does sing it in Blues Brothers 2000.
But dude, it was so... I was like thinking,
yeah.
I'm going to call it. She's about to bust into Respect because...
Which would have made sense.
The way it leads up where the dude's like, listen, woman, you know, so she sang Respect.
Had she
but she didn't do
Respect
it.
Yet?
Oh, yeah. That's from the...
Otis Redding originally wrote and recorded
Respect.
Yes,
that's right.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I did know that. If we did the music gap, well, that's there's a reverse one where we could
the
talk
music
about
gap
shit.
Or
yeah.
the sports gap.
Yeah.
We're way over time. I thought this was only a 45 minute.
Well, we'll go long today. We'll go
we're
long
going long.
We got the special guest.
Yeah, we're
going
to go a little bit long. We might split it up into two.
Ooh.
Two-parter with just like a bonus 20 minutes.
What you should do is split it up in a two-parter and release the second part first.
I think we've almost done that before.
We'll do
just release it out of order.
It's
part two.
The Tarantino version of
podcast. Kill Bill. So one of us has to hang ourselves in a closet.
Well, so that means
that's how he died in real life, right? But not.
That's what happened in real life.
Yeah. But how did he die in the movie?
She gave the fist, the finger fist, or whatever.
Five. Pants. Oh wait, that was.
You can only take 12. Is it 10 steps or 12 steps?
Yeah, 10 steps.
10 steps.
Yeah. It should have been like 7.5. It would have been cooler if it was an arbitrary number.
I'm like, you
number.
Know what?
What if it was like 156?
Somebody
steps?
Give me a wheelchair.
I just make
wheelchair myself around. Yeah. Seven.
Try that.
What's the conversion rate there? You know, for steps to wheel turns.
Yes.
You know. All right. So, well, what do you want to? What's the plan? Do you just want to go two part?
I don't think we got to
do like a little bonus. We can release
we'll just
midweek.
Do like a bonus midweek.
All right, well, then
let's go ahead and call the end of the episode here, and then we'll come back with your rating. We'll see how long the recast goes.
Okay.
Is this going to be in the podcast?
Yes, oh, yeah. Probably.
Kegel!
This part's going to be in the...
Not Kegel, Keichel.
Kegel!
I like Kegel better,
Kegel
though. That's
better.
Fucking
yes.
hilarious. we are not editing this discussion on
so
if
the,
we
so
are
we just hearing yelling
the...
Kegel. Yeah. This makes me sound like a crazy person.
That's right. That's the risk you take, you know?
So let's take a brief
pee break,
and we'll come back.
All right.
Well, wait, no. What are we?
Yeah.
No, we're ending it now.
Yeah, we're
going
to end it now, and we'll come back. But, like, we're just going to release it together. It'll just be two files.
Oh, okay. I think.
So, we'll figure it out. Maybe we can edit.
We'll figure something out.
We can talk about this off air.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good. That's a good
idea. I know you're not going to cut it.
No, I'm not.
All right. Well, we'll see you next week or sometime soon.
Yeah.
All right, I will not be here for the next one unless this is the second half of the first one, and then I am here.
There you go. Thank you. Bye.
What are we calling this again? Soleil?
Soleil.
Soleil. Soleil sparkling beverage water. It's not LaCroix.
So if it's not LaCroix, all the wheelchairs are Walgreens. Walgreens. All right, and we're back real quick. Before we end this episode, we wanted to give some plugs for Scott, and he will also be back with us next week for the second part of the Blues Brothers. That being said, Scott will be performing at the Tower City Comedy Festival in Paris, Texas this weekend. That's January 26th and 27th. As well as on Facebook. His Facebook is what again, Bryce?
Just look him up on Facebook. It's Scott White.
Scott White.
Probably
Scott White
91. Comedy. He's on Twitter. Scott White 91 on Twitter. He's also doing Hello Foursquare Comics. Right. And
that's also
Facebook.
On his Facebook.
Right, right. So look for that. And he has a YouTube channel. Just search for Scott White on YouTube. He does all kinds of great stuff on there. He has a 4.5 minute review he does a 4.5 minute review of anything, and it doesn't matter how long the review is going. Once 4.5 minutes hits, he stops it, and that's
it's
it.
Really
so,
funny stuff.
Yeah, good stuff. So go check that out, and thank you guys for listening.
And as always, find us at The Movie Gap on Twitter, at The Movie Gap on Instagram.
Yes.
The Movie Gap on Facebook, and
rate and review us on
iTunes.
iTunes, Spotify, wherever you're listening. Tell your friends.
Yeah.
Wherever you find us, rate and review us. And also comment. Go comment. And tell us what you think, and we will read your stuff on air, no matter what it is, as you will see in the next episode.
Yeah. And join us for next week's episode of The Blues Brothers, where we hit our
Reboot Ranger.
God damn it, Bryce.
We'll get it sometime.
To support this podcast, please go to www.patreon.com/ScottWhite and give what you're able. If you're listening on iTunes, please give a review. That should help people find this podcast. And no matter what services you use to listen, please leave feedback. We always want to improve. Thank you for listening to the Dan Aykroyd Podcast.